The august marble and gilt halls of the Library of Congress, where U.S. Poet Laureate Kay Ryan has her official headquarters, seem an unlikely place for someone raised in what she calls the glamour-free, ocean-free, hot, stinky, oil-rich, potato-rich San Joaquin Valley of California.
I have to say that I didn't want to be a poet, and I still feel pretty embarrassed about it in a lot of situations. Because it seemed like putting on airs, it seemed self-absorbed, it seemed like something that my oil well driller father wouldn't understand at all, and that my mother would disapprove of, because it was just showing off.
Born in 1945, Ryan came of age during the 1960s and 70s, when highly personal, often soul-bearing poetry was in vogue. That was definitely not her style.
I liked much, much chillier, more controlled and thoughtful and witty and, for lack of a better term, intelligent poetry, more than physical, expressive, confessional work. So I didn't want to be what I understood a poet to be at that time, but I found that poetry was nonetheless possessing my mind. Like if I read a book of prose, the prose would start rhyming. And it was just a kind of a little insanity.
Kay Ryan has a fluid, soaring imagination that couples, sometimes smoothly, often wildly, with the compact rigor she brings to her craft. We hear both in Killing Time.
Time is rubbery. If you hide it in the shrubbery, it will wait till winter and wash back out with the rainwater. You will find it on your steps again, like the newspaper. Time compresses. Stuff it in the couch corner, and it will spring out some night or other when you have guests, one of whom guesses. Time stretches. Then it snaps back, leaving bare patches that didn't happen. Abandoned time hardens like hidden gum. People feel around. Sooner or later, it will be found.
It was not until 1976, when Ryan was in her early 30s, that she realized that poetry was her true calling. She had just come over the Hoosier Pass in the Rocky Mountains on a cross-country bicycle trip when she found herself in an altered state of awareness.
I experienced some atomic alteration in my mind, and I realized I had this incredible capacity to think like a laser, and I could think out to infinity. At first, I just was doing a little, you know, few little kite tricks with it, but then I realized, oh, this is the perfect chance to get the answer to my question, shall I be a writer? But the answer that I got was a question, and the question was, do you like it? That was the entire answer, and I just laughed because there was no question about it. I loved it. So I really went down the mountain knowing what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Epiphanies notwithstanding, Ryan's poems often explore everyday human emotions, such as hope, doubt, and fear. In this poem, Ryan expresses a special fondness for relief, a fleeting emotion which, unlike love, she observes is always paid for in advance.
We know it is close to something lofty. Simply getting over being sick or finding lost property has in it the leap, the purge, the quick humility of witnessing a birth. How love seeps up and retakes the earth. There is a dreamy, wading feeling to your walk inside the current of restored riches, clocks set back, disasters averted.
To date, Ryan has published more than a half dozen collections of poetry, beginning with her self-published volume, Dragon Axe to Dragon Ends, in 1983. But it wasn't until the mid-1990s that she began to acquire a national reputation. In the meantime, she taught remedial English at a community college in Marin County, California, and lived quietly with her longtime spouse, Carol Adair, who died in January 2009. Unlike many poets of her stature, Ryan was not interested in the busy academic swirl of conferences and university life. When pressed, she places herself in the outsider tradition of American poetry.
Some of my poems also are essentially complaints. What I'm repeatedly asking for is less, you know, please make the world quieter, take away some of this sensation. I am overly visited by sensation and the ideas of others and just the general onslaught of the world, and I would like peace from it most of the time. I think I'll read something called Crustacean Island. My eye just fell upon it. There could be an island paradise where crustaceans prevail. Click, click, go the lobsters with their china mitts and articulated tails. It would not be sad like whales with their immense and patient sieving and the sobering modesty of their general way of living. It would be an island blessed with only cold-blooded residents and no human angle. It would echo with 1,000 castanets and no flamencos.
Ryan nearly turned down the offer to become U.S. Poet Laureate. She says she wanted to protect her privacy and keep writing without being distracted by the job's many public duties. Ultimately, Ryan accepted the post at her partner's urging, but she says she hasn't used her highly visible role to advocate for poetry.
Well, you know, I want to say that I think poetry is indestructible, and I don't worry about it, and I don't think it needs the protection of me or the advocacy of me or anyone, because I think poetry is just like gold coins. You can lose it in the couch or in the ground or anywhere, and when it's dug up, it's going to be valuable. So that real poetry utterly protects itself, takes care of itself. Now, having said that, I would like to make my project as the Poet Laureate, I would like to try to make a little bit more space between words. I think all words should have a fraction more time if they're spoken, or on the page, I think we should have a little more white space in between words. We need a little more open space.
It was perhaps in that spirit that Ryan wrote a short little poem called Dew.
As neatly as peas in their green canoe, as discreetly as beads strung in a row, sit drops of dew along a blade of grass. But unattached and subject to their weight, they slip, if they accumulate, down the green tongue, out of the morning sun, into the general damp, they're gone.
America's Poet Laureate, Kay Ryan. I'm Adam Phillips for VOA News.